Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
They're saying you are not recognizing a reality. You are assigning a social construct to that child when you say, hey, it's a boy.
That's what people think is happening with the manger. They think we can use a manger for a crib. Isn't that cute? No, it's not cute. That's part of his suffering.
When death comes to us, when suffering, when doubts, when torments come to us, we look to Jesus, who is faithful and trustworthy.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
When you hear the Archbishop of Canterbury, he is the symbolic head of worldwide Anglicanism. When you hear him expressing doubts that Anglicanism can hold together, he said recently there's a possibility that we, that is, Anglicans, will not hold together. And furthermore, when you hear him expressing doubts that the famous Lambeth Conference, one is supposed to be scheduled for 2018, but it hasn't been, may not be held again, you know something's wrong. Anglicanism is a big tent. It almost always has been, but the tent apparently stretches only so far. And now, what many Anglicans have realized for about the last 10 years, now that is beginning to kind of filter its way up to the leadership of worldwide Anglicanism. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 12th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk with the Reverend Canon Andrew Gross of the Anglican Church in North America about the future of Anglican unity and the Anglican Communion. A little bit later, we'll be talking about a New York Times story. You may have seen it. Pope Francis remarked that paradise is open to all of God's creatures. An entire story was written. Is it all true? That's the big question. Pastor Hans Feeney will be our guest. A little bit later in the first hour, we're going to talk about something he's written recently for The Federalist about Bill Nye and mediocre Christmas music. In hour two of Issues Etc., Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith joins us for our series with him on This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about a seeker-driven Christmas, the Christmas of American evangelicalism. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play four soundbites for you. You listen, and then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or going to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and voting there for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to discuss the future of the Anglican Communion, the Reverend Canon Andrew Gross. He's canon for communications and media relations for the Anglican Church in North America. Reverend Gross, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, thank you for having me.
This is what Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, had to say recently. He said, I think realistically, speaking of the Anglican Communion and perhaps particularly of the Lambeth Conference, he says, I think realistically we've got to say that despite all efforts, there's a possibility that we will not hold together or not hold together for a while. I could see circumstances in which there could be people moving apart then coming back together, depending on what else happens. It's a rather vague statement, but why now? Why is the Archbishop of Canterbury now expressing his concerns that the Anglican Communion might not be able to hold together as it has up to this point?
Well, I think that we would say, from the perspective of the Anglican Church in North America, that the tearing of the fabric of the Anglican Communion isn't something that might potentially happen in the future, but it's something that's already happened in the past. With the communion-breaking actions that were taken by the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Church of Canada, that was the beginning of the tearing of the fabric of the communion. And this happened back in the mid-2000s. And so I think for Canterbury, they're recognizing that the communion is deeply split. But I think the reality of this division has been in evidence for many years now, and not simply the split itself, but also a realignment that's taking place within global Anglicanism.
Do you hear the Archbishop of Canterbury suggesting that there may not be a future Lambeth Conference, or that future attempts might actually fail to bring worldwide Anglicanism together?
Yes, and I think that the last Lambeth Conference itself did bring Anglicans together. And so he recognized from the last Lambeth Conference that wasn't able to take place because there was not order within the communion. And so he has hinted that, and quite frankly said, that there's no plans for a 2018 Lambeth Conference. It's significant because the conference has only been canceled twice in past history, and that's because of world wars. So this is a significant moment in that sense.
You mentioned a few moments ago the communion-breaking actions of both the Episcopal Church in the United States and also their counterpart in Canada. What were those actions?
Well, the precipitating action that I think got the most press attention was the election of Gene Robinson in the Episcopal Church. But we see that as really just the tip of the theological iceberg. There are much more significant issues regarding salvation and the personhood and uniqueness of Christ that were kind of foundational for that. But the thing that garnered the press had to do with sexuality.
And what has the response been, in particular from the American perspective, of the current leadership of the Episcopal Church to actions like the splitting off of whole dioceses and then the formation of the Anglican Church in North America? How have they reacted to that?
Well, the Episcopal Church has reacted with a strategy of litigation, which has been really most unfortunate because our dioceses and congregations are really hopeful to avoid any sort of contentious split. In fact, in many of our dioceses, the bishops were willing to give those congregations that wanted to remain part of the Episcopal Church their buildings and allow them to carry on without any sort of hassle. Unfortunately, what took place was many of those congregations that were given the ability to remain part of the Episcopal Church then quickly turned around and declared themselves to be the true diocese and in turn sued those dioceses back again.
In your opinion, what has the role been of the recent decision of the Church of England to begin to consecrate female priests as bishops? What role has that played in the further fracturing of the Anglican Communion?
Well, certainly actions that are taken on something like women bishops is something that affects all the churches. And so it's something where the emerging Anglicanism of the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans, that is largely Africa, Asia, the Anglican Church in North America, those churches are beginning to really take the lead in the Anglican Communion. And so what you see is that the traditional power that was held by the Archbishop of Canterbury and in Western powers is now shifting to the Global South.
What other issues have been plaguing Anglicanism, have been widening the schism that, as you say, has been opening for, well, almost a decade now?
Well, I think you've really hit on the most significant ones. The sexuality piece being the kind of spark, the moment that sparked things. But really, this has been a challenge that comes from much deeper roots, and that is the theological liberalism that for decades worked its way into the church kind of finally came to fruition, you might say, in those actions. And so part of what is happening with the revival of Anglicanism around the world through the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans is the recovery of a biblically sound and faithful Anglicanism.
How would you describe that to a non-Anglican listener when you say confessing Anglicans? What does that term mean?
Well, that's a good question. I think the return to the authority of the Scripture and recognizing that the Scripture is our primary authority is really what the movement about the confessing, the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans is about.
Is it primarily, are the issues that have sparked this primarily moral, or are there also theological, not to make too fine a distinction there, but is it primarily moral concerns having to do with things like human sexuality and the like?
Well, there's certainly both. There are theological concerns. For instance, there was a a Time magazine article in which, at the time, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Catherine Jefford Shorey, declared Christ to be one way to the Father. And so, obviously, that's a much deeper level theological concern that those that were concerned with the actions of the Episcopal Church on moral issues certainly recognized the deeper theological framework was completely different as well.
You mentioned a moment ago that Lambeth has only been canceled twice in memory for two world wars. What will it mean if there is no Lambeth Conference, if as willing to compromise as worldwide Anglicanism has proven to be over the decades, they can't again bring together all of the various chapters of the Anglican Communion? What will that mean?
Well, I think it shows that the communion is not the communion that it used to be, which on the one hand is sad, and yet I think there's a clarity that is taking place. In the last Lambeth Conference that took place, there were a large number of bishops that absented themselves because of the lack of order within the communion. And the global, it was called the GAFCON Conference, Global Anglican Fellowship Conference, took place in Jerusalem. And so many of the bishops chose to go to the GAFCON Conference instead of the Lambeth Conference. And so this began back at the last Lambeth Conference, and I think that the fact that this Lambeth Conference hasn't been called is simply a recognition that not only were those same bishops, a significant number of bishops, absent themselves if it were called again, but even more this time around, simply wouldn't see the value of coming together amongst such circumstances.
Finally, then, you've mentioned here the bishops and the communions of the global South. That is also, if I'm not mistaken, one of the fastest growing set of provinces in the Anglican Communion. What does that say?
It absolutely is. If you look at what what the average Anglican looks like in the world, most folks would think of someone perhaps middle-aged, white from England, when the fact of the matter is the average Anglican these days is a 20 to 30-something woman from Nigeria. The Church of Nigeria has almost 21 million members, and the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans has over 44 million members, so a majority of the Anglican communions, for sure. And so this shift that's taking place away from the neocolonial structures that have been run mostly by Western powers to really the global South and the power of the archbishops who are leading in Africa and Asia is a historic moment in the life of our church.
To what degree does the financial influence of both the American and the Canadian provinces, the Episcopal Church, to what degree do they still exercise undue financial influence in the Anglican Communion?
Certainly the Episcopal Church has a financial impact upon the budget of the Anglican Communion office in Lambeth Palace in England. And so there's a lot of influence that the Episcopal Church has because of the funds that they provide, not so much because of the size of the church itself or its significance.
When you hear the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, say that he could see circumstances in which there could be people moving apart and then coming back together, is he expressing hope there, or is he talking about realigning along theological lines, the realigning of worldwide Anglicanism?
Well, I think you'd have to ask Archbishop Welby what he envisions in terms of that splitting apart and coming back together again. Again, he's talking of kind of what he is seeing might happen in the future. And from our perspective, both the split and the realignment have already happened. And you see this around the world as the split that happened in the early to mid-2000s caused a realignment with the shift of influence to the Global South. And that realignment has already taken place through the Global Fellowship of Confessing Anglicans. And so you have these two parallel movements going on, but from our perspective, much of what is significant has already taken place.
The Reverend Canon Andrew Gross is Canon for Communications and Media Relations for the Anglican Church in North America. We'll post a link to the Anglican Church in North America at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Reverend Gross, thank you very much for being our guest.
Todd, it's been a pleasure being with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
When we come back, well, you read it in the New York Times. It says that the Pope has reversed previous papal administrations on whether or not animals go to heaven. Is that true? What was the previous administration's position? We're going to talk to Don Eden of GetReligion.org right after this.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit all-inclusive.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God Himself, the knowledge of His perfected humanity, the knowledge of the measure of His total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.